Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word, and I am Pastor Steve. And this show is for Monday, November the 21st, 2016. We are going to be finishing up the book of Judges today with chapters 20 and 21. I need to apologize to the listeners. I have a severe problem with chronic bronchitis, and there are good days and bad days. And I have been having some very bad days. And if I cough and I can't catch it, you'll have to forgive me. I cannot control this. It is a chronic health problem that's not going to go away. So if I can't get to the mute button in time, please forgive me. It's not something I can do anything about. I've tried everything. So I have scarring in my bronchial tubes, and they affect me. So let's get into the book of Judges here with chapter 20. This is all about the people of the tribe of Binyamin, which is Benjamin. And in the last show, we covered what happened in Gibeah of Benjamin. So this is a continuation of Israel punishing the tribe of Benjamin for their evil actions. There we go. I have to have one hand on the mute button. Verse 1 of chapter 20. All the children of Israel went forth, and the congregation assembled as one man from Dan to Beersheba, that's 884, with the land of Gilead, to Yahweh in Mizpah. That's where the temple was residing, tabernacle, pardon me, the tent of meeting. They hadn't built the temple yet. Verse 2, and the chiefs, 6,438, of all the people, of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves, that's one word, 3,320, in the assembly of the people of Elohim, 400,000 men of foot that drew swords. And in verse 2, 6,438 is Pinoth, the chiefs of all the people. This is literally corners as support. Those that supported the people of Israel, they call them Pinoth as leaders, because they held up the people. Verse 3. The children of Binyamin heard that the children of Israel had gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, tell us in what manner was this wickedness. Verse 4, and the Lewi, the husband of the murdered woman, that's 7523, the murder, answered and said, I came to Gibeah of Binyamin, I and my concubine, to lodge. The citizens of Gibeah rose up against me and surrounded the house upon me by night, thinking, that's 18:19, to slay me. And my concubine they raped, 6031, that's abused, until she died. And I took hold of my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, because they have committed licentiousness to 154, that is Zima in the Hebrew, and disgraceful folly in Israel. Verse 7. Behold, you are all children of Israel. Give here your words of counsel. This does not contain the former information that they wanted to know him sexually. There's a piece left out of this section. Pardon me for just a second. there we go. Verse 8. And all the people rose up as one man, declaring, no man of us shall go to his tent, nor will a man of us turn toward his house. But now this is the thing which we shall do to Gibeah by lot, 1486, against it. In other words, they were going to cast lots to see who would go up and strike Gibeah of Benjamin. That was in the territory of the tribe of Benjamin. Because they were very upset. This is the kind of behavior that got Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. Verse 10. We will take 10 men of 100 from all the tribes of Israel. 100 of 1,000. 1,000 of 10,000. To fetch 3947. Provisions 6720. For the people, so that they may do, 6213, when they come to Geba, 1387, that's the same as Gibeah. It's just a different spelling. To Geba of Benjamin, according to all the disgraceful folly they have done in Israel. Okay, pardon me for a second. I'm just going to have to continue to do that so I can get the recording in. This is a very difficult time for me. Okay. 11. Chapter 20, verse 11. So gathered the men of Israel against the city, men as one, 259, united together, 2270, as Kabarim. Verse 12, and the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore give us these men, the sons of Belial, which are in Gibeah, to be put to death, and remove evil from Israel. That's according to Yahweh's law. But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their kinsmen, the children of Israel. I have a great big jug of orange juice sitting here, trying to keep my throat clear. Verse 14, but the children of Benjamin gathered from the cities to Gibeah to go forth to do battle against the children of Israel. In other words, they were going to fight the rest of Israel. Verse 15, and the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time from the cities 26,000 men that drew sword. It's a lot of guys. Besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. That's a lot. Verse 16, from all these people were 700 chosen men bound of the right hand. Now that's an idiomatic usage of that. That means they were left-handed. Everyone could sling, 7049, stones at a hair, 8185, and not miss, 2398. The slings were not little slingshots with rubber bands on them. These were slings that they could kill lions and bears with stones. The same kind of sling that David would kill Goliath with. Verse 17, and the men of Israel, beside Benjamin, were numbered 400,000 men that drew sword. All these were men of war. Verse 18, the children of Israel rode up and went up to Bethel and inquired, 7592, of Elohim, and asked, which shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? Now that when they inquired, that's Wayishalu. That means to inquire by lot. And Yahweh answered, Yahuda first. Verse 19. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. Verse 20. And the men of Israel went forth to do battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel prepared, 6186, to fight against them at Gibeah. Verse 21. And the children of Benjamin came forth from Gibeah and destroyed, 7843, of Israel that day, 22,000 men to the ground. Verse 22. The people of the men of Israel strengthened themselves, 2388, and prepared their battle again in the place where they prepared the first day. Verse 23. And the children of Israel went up and wept before Yahweh until evening and inquired of Yahweh, asking, shall we bring, 5066, again battle against the children of Benjamin, our kinsmen? And Yahweh replied, go up against them. And the children of Israel approached to the children of Benjamin the second day. Verse 25, and Benjamin went forth to meet them from Gibeah the second day, and destroyed of the children of Israel again 18,000 men to the ground. All these drew sword. Verse 26. All the children of Israel, all the people, went up and came to Bethel and wept and sat there before Yahweh and fasted, 6684, Wayatsumu, in Hebrew, and fasted that day until evening, and offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before Yahweh. Verse 27. And the children of Israel inquired of Yahweh, as the Ark of the Covenant of Elohim was there in those days. Verse 28. And Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aharon, stood before it in those days, in other words, he was high priest, and asked, shall we again go forth to battle against the children of Benjamin, our kinsmen, or shall we cease? And Yahweh said, go up, for tomorrow I will give them into your hand. Verse 29, and Israel set liers in wait around Gibeah. Verse 30, and the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in order against Gibeah as at other times. Verse 31, and the children of Benjamin went forth to meet the people and were drawn away, that's 5, 4, 2, 3, from the city. Excuse me for a second. Okay, I had to get my breath there. And they were drawn away from the city. And they began to smite of the people and kill 2491, as at other times, in the highways 4546, by which one goes up to Bethel and the other to Gibeah in the field, about 30 men of Israel. Verse 32. The children of Benjamin said, they are smitten, 5062, as defeated, before us as the first. But the children of Israel said, let us flee, 5127, and draw them from the city to the highways. Verse 33, and all the men of Israel rose up from their place and ordered themselves at Baal Tamar, that's Baal of the palm trees, and the liers in wait of Israel came forth from their places from Ma'are Gaba. That's 4629 and 1390. And that means the bare places of Gibeah. Second. You have to pardon me, folks. I'm doing the very best I can here with this bronchial situation. Verse 34, there came in front of Gibeah 10,000 chosen men from all of Israel, and the battle was heavy, but they knew not that Harm, 7451, was approaching them. Verse 35, and Yahweh smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed, 7843, of Benjamin, that day 25,100 men. All these drew sword. Verse 36. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were smitten, for the men of Israel gave place to Benjamin, because they trusted to the liers in wait, which they had placed beside Gibeah. Verse 37. And the liers in wait hasted, 2363, and rushed, 6584, upon Gibeah. And the liers in wait proceeded, 4900, to smite all the city with the edge of the sword. Verse 38, there was an appointed sign, 4150, between the men of Israel and the liars in wait, that they should make a great uprising, 4864, of smoke, 6227, from the city. Verse 39, and when the men of Israel turned away, 2015, in the battle, Binyamin began to smite and kill of the men of Israel about 30 men, because they said, surely they are smitten down before us as in the first battle. That's a repeat of verse 32 almost. Verse 40. But when the uprising of smoke began to ascend from the city with a column, 5982, of smoke, Binyamin looked behind them, and behold, the entire city ascended up to the sky. In other words, everything was burning behind them. They had left the gates open, and the rest of the Israelites went in and set the city on fire. Pardon me. Verse 41. And when the men of Israel turned again, the men of Benjamin were dismayed, 9:26, because they saw that harm was come upon them. Verse 42. Therefore they turned, 6437, before the men of Israel to the way of the wilderness. But the battle overtook them. That's one word. 1692. Hedbikateihu. And those which came from the cities they destroyed in the midst of them. Verse 43. They surrounded, 3803, Binyamin, and pursued them, 7291. And trod them down, one word, 1869. Hidarikuhu. From Manuka, 4496, opposite to Gibeah, toward the place of the sun rising. And Manuka is an unknown settlement, and you can reference 4506 in 1 Chronicles 8, verse 6. Verse 44. And there fell from Benjamin 18,000 men. All these were men of valor. Verse 45. And they turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon. 7417. And they gleaned of them, 5953, in other words, slew more of them. Wayaoleluhu. Say that five times as fast as you can. They gleaned of them in the highways, 5,000 men, and pursued closely, but 1692, Wayadabiku, pursued closely after them to Gidom, 1440, and slew 2,000 of them. Verse 46, so all that fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men that drew sword. All these were men of valor. Verse 47. But 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness to the rock Rimmon and abode in the rock Rimmon 4 months. Verse 48. And the men of Israel turned back upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword, the men from the cities, and the beasts, 929, and all that they found, Also, they set on fire all the cities they found. Now, this is the story of the battle of retribution by Israel against the tribe of Benjamin. Tribe of Benjamin had protected the sodomite murderers in Gibeah and refused to deliver them for punishment by the assembled congregation of all of the rest of Israel. This was a law in Israel that you were supposed to turn over men like this, that you just didn't let this go. And Israel was trusting solely in the righteousness of their cause and did not inquire of Yahweh at the first. That's why they got smacked down first. Even with their overwhelming numbers and strength of arms, Yahweh let them be defeated in several battles. But when they humbled themselves before Yahweh in supplication and fasting, then he gave them their victory. You'll have to remember here that Judges is not in a timeline format. This chapter occurs back when Pinehas is still the high priest, and the Ark of the Covenant was still in Israel's possession. This dates back. This is backdated. They didn't put everything in a timeline in this book. In verse 48, the term beast is used and is behemoth. It has a numerous amount of usage. It can mean beasts and cattle, work animals, all the useful livestock. Here, they did not declare it dedicated to destruction, and all the useful livestock they would take as booty of war. No instruction like that is given in this chapter. Therefore, these beasts were more than likely of the two-legged field hand variety. They had probably armed them and brought them to battle with them. So, it could be either. So we really don't know. That ends chapter 20. Now, they had really decimated Benjamin in this battle. There were only a remnant, basically, of the tribe that were left. I'm going to get some of this orange juice here. That's pretty tart orange juice. It's not sweetened. It's just raw, and it seems to help with this bronchitis. They didn't have any wives. They had killed everybody, okay, including the women. So in chapter 21, they're going to have to change their mind and do a little manipulation, still staying within the law of Yahweh, but they're going to have to get some women so the tribe of Benjamin doesn't just die out, which it was in danger of doing. It was always a small tribe anyway. And they had just wiped a lot of it out in this battle. So they couldn't just destroy a whole tribe. They were going to have to figure out a way, legally, to get them to propagate. And they will. So let's get into chapter 21 here. Verse 1. The men of Israel had sworn, 7650, in Mitzpah, saying, no man of us shall give his daughter to Binyamin to wife. In other words, they were not going to give their daughters. They weren't going to allow Benjamin to marry from other tribes. Well, see, they put the cart before the horse there. They were mad at Benjamin. So they couldn't give their daughters. In other words, they couldn't willingly give them. So there was going to have to be something done. Verse 2. And the people came to Bethel and abode there until evening before Elohim, and lifted up their voices and wept, 105.8, great, 1419, tears, 106.5. Verse 3. And said, O Yahweh Elohe Israel, that means God of Israel, for what reason has this come to pass in Israel that one tribe is lacking, 6485, this day in Israel? Verse 4. It was on the morrow the people rose early and built there an altar and sent up burnt offerings, 5930, and offerings of well-being, 8002. Verse 5, and the children of Israel said, who among all the tribes of Israel did not come up with a congregation to Yahweh? Because they had made a great oath. 7621. Hashabuah. Okay, concerning him that came not up to Yahweh to Mitzpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. That's 4191 doubled for emphatics. That's Moth Yomath. Verse 6. And the children of Israel had pity, 5162, for Binyamin their kinsman, and said, there is one tribe cut off, 1438, from Israel this day. In other words, they just slain most of them. Verse 7. What shall we do for wives for those that remain? 3498. As we have sworn, 7650, by Yahweh, that we will not give them from our daughters to wives. Verse 8, and they said, what one of the tribes of Israel that did not come up to Mitzpah to Yahweh? And behold, there came no man from the camp of Yabesh Gilead to the assembly. And the people were mustered. In other words, they looked around, and behold, no man from the inhabitants of Yabesh Gilead was there. Verse 10. And the congregation sent from there 12,000 men of the sons of valor and commanded them, saying, go and smite the inhabitants of Yabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and children. Uh-oh. See, they didn't go to fight against Binyamin as commanded by Yahweh. So they broke the law. Now they're going to be punished. Verse 11, and this thing is what you shall do. You shall devote to destruction, 2763, every male and every woman that has known by lying with, 4904, a male. In other words, those that were not virgins. Verse 12. And they found among the inhabitants of Yabesh Gilead 400 virgin, 1330, damsels, 5291. Okay. that had known no man by lying with a male. And they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. And the whole congregation sent word to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon to proclaim 71:21, peace, 7965, to them. That's Vayikra Shalom, to call out peace. Verse 14, and Benjamin returned at that time, and they gave them wives, which they had saved alive from the women of Yabesh Gilead. The rest of this did not find them so. It might mean they found them insufficient. This is very difficult and unclear. It's Wolo Matseo Lahem Ken. And they did not find them so, is what it says in Hebrew. In English, it would be, they found them insufficient. That might be the meaning of it, because they had killed all these other people. Verse 15, the people had compassion for Benjamin because Yahweh had made a breach, 6556, in the tribes of Israel. Verse 16 sort of reinforces the idea of insufficient that I put forward. Verse 16, the elders of the congregation said, what shall we do for wives at those for those that remain? 3498, because the women are destroyed from Benjamin. That's what was going on. And they said, verse 17, and they said, an inheritance, 3425, for those that escaped, 6413, of Benjamin. So a tribe is not blotted out, 4229, of Israel. Verse 18, but we may not give them wives from our daughters. For the children of Israel have sworn, saying, cursed, 779, be he that gives a wife to Benjamin. The key word here is gives. Verse 19, they said, behold, a feast of Yahweh in Shiloh is this year, which is on the north side of Bethel toward the rising of the sun of the highway going up from Bethel to Shechem and from the south of Lebona, 3829, that's Lebanon. Verse 20, they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards. Verse 21, and look and see if the daughters of Shiloh come forth to dance, 2342, and dances, 4246, then go forth from the vineyards, and every man catch him a wife from the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. Verse 22. Just go out and grab one. Verse 22. It shall be, if their fathers or brothers come to us to complain, 7378, we will say to them, favor us for them, because we saved no man his wife in the war, because you did not give to them at this time, that you incur guilt. In other words, you're not guilty. You didn't give them these wives. They just ran out and caught them a wife. Hey, this is pretty devious stuff here. Verse 23, and the children of Benjamin did so. And they took wives according to their number to their inheritance and rebuilt the cities and dwelt in them. Verse 24, and the children of Israel departed from there at that time, each man to his tribe and to his clan, and they went forth from there, each man to his inheritance. In other words, all the warriors of Israel went home. The battle, the fighting was over. Verse 25. In those days was no king in Israel. Each man did what was upright in his own eyes. Remember Micah with the idols? He didn't think he was doing wrong. It was half Yahweh worship, half idol worship. And the guy really didn't have a clue. Okay? Sorry. But he was clueless. And even that... that priest he had that wasn't really supposed to be a priest, he thought he was doing right, and he wasn't. So that's what was going on. Well, we're going to get into the book of Ruth. On Tuesday, I'm gonna do another recording. My lungs have cleared up a little bit here, and a lot of the stuff has come up out of them. I've been waiting all day. This is late in the evening, and I've been having some real problems, folks. I hate to, you know, I'm not trying to whine about it. I'm just telling you a simple fact. I have scarring in my bronchial tubes from a bad filter in a paint mask. I was painting a truck many years ago, and I had a bad air filter in the mask. And I got some Centauri with a hardener down in my bronchial tubes, and it burned them chemically. I had to go to the hospital. And the result is scarring on my bronchial tubes. And this causes great problems speaking. Very hard to get a full breath, to speak without having to cough. It feels like there's sand down in there when there isn't really anything down in there. It's the scars, and sometimes it is uncontrollable. I have to apologize for that, but that there's nothing I can do. It's permanent damage. And I've tried everything. I've gone to doctors, and they've stuck a scope down in there and looked. And now you got scarring on your bronchial tubes, and it's deep scarring, and you're gonna cough. You're not gonna be long-winded. I sort of defied that rule. Long-winded enough, but I'm doing the best I can. I don't want to interrupt these series. I may cut back on the number of shows that I'm doing for a while. I don't know. We'll see what comes about. Whatever Yahweh wants me to do, I will do. And it's got me a little bit down because I really enjoy reading the scriptures to you and doing these studies because I've got a lot of information to impart. So please bear with me, and if I have to mute in order to clear my lungs, that's what I'm doing. I'm in a bad situation, So please forgive me if they're intermittent pauses. But we're going to get into the book of Ruth very, very heavily. There's a lot of explanation that needs to be done. It's a very small book, and it needs to be done before the book of Samuel, because it starts out, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled," okay, that's all about judges, and it occurs in a timeline prior to 1 Samuel 8. It occurs right at the beginning part of Samuel, so it really should predate Samuel. They have changed a lot of the wording and modified it, the churchianity has made it say what it doesn't say. They have tampered with the book of Ruth very greatly, and they are teaching error as to the book of Ruth, like they did in the book of Joshua with Rahab, the innkeeper. They called her a harlot. Well, the book of Josephus specifically counters that and said that she was an innkeeper. She lived there with her parents, and she was an Israelite living in Jericho. But they called her a harlot. Now, why did they do this, and why are they trying to say that Ruth was a Moabite? Because both these women were in the line of descent of Yahshua Messiah. And they're trying to put a harlot and a Moabite in that family line. That is a lie of the devil propagated by the children of the devil. And I refute these things. I refuted the deal about Rahab when I did the study on the book of Joshua. I will do the same here in the book of Ruth beginning tomorrow. I will go over it slowly and in great detail, because the words are critical. We have to examine this book carefully, like Eli James and I have done, and David James, with Galatians, verse by verse, showing the errors that the translators have placed in the book of Galatians. Well, they've done the same thing with the book of Ruth. So it's going to be a verse-by-verse, blow-by-blow battle beginning tomorrow. This is Thanksgiving week. I will be away for Thanksgiving at one of the member of the congregation has invited me to their home. And I will be going there for Tea Day. I don't necessarily celebrate Tea Day. I do the Feast of Tabernacles, which we observe this year. These congregation members were down there, and we were observing the feasts. We're coming into the so-called holiday season. That's churchianity's holidays. The only thing that is scriptural is the Feast of the Dedication, and that it means Hanukkah. That is not a Jewish holiday, that is a Christian holiday. In Book of John, chapter 10, you will see that Yahshua Messiah was there at the temple for the Feast of the Dedication. and that concerns when they cleansed the temple of all the pagan idols that were in it. And the priest didn't have any holy oil to burn in the lamps. They only had one day's supply. And they prayed, and Yahweh made that one day supply of oil burn for 8 days, day and night. And only Yahweh could do that. So it is a feast in honor of that miracle. It is not a scripturally commanded feast. It's a feast of joy and celebration, and the Jews have tried to steal it for their own. Like they try to steal the name of Israel. Not so. It's not Jewish. It's Israelite. And I don't give the Jews any of our birthright. I don't let them take anything. Just because they do it doesn't mean it's wrong. It's wrong for them because they're not Israel. But they try to imitate us. And they try to steal our birthright at every turn. So don't be dismayed if I talk about Hanukkah during those days. And I'll give the New Testament verses. I'll read them. And I may read from the book of Maccabees, that tells all about the cleansing of the temple and all of that, and I'll elucidate on that. And on December the 1st, Pastor Mullett and I are going to be doing a show about Christmas, which is a pagan holiday. So we will be hitting that pretty hard. I'm doing what I can about my breathing condition here. I'm doing the best I can. And Yahweh willing, I will be able to continue. I'm asking for healing, and gonna keep at it, you know. The book of Judges has been a very interesting and action-packed series of readings. A lot of action there that have great import on what comes up. When we get finished with the book of Ruth Tuesday and Wednesday, for Thursday I will start in the book of 1 Samuel. Now, the books of Samuel, 1st and 2nd, were all one book at one time. Churchianity has separated them, and people look in their editions of the Bible they're using, and they see they're two books. Well, I'll do them in the series. They were all one book at one time. 1st and 2nd Samuel, and 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. All of Samuel was one book. All of Kings was one book. All of Chronicles was one book. And they separated them. So because people are going to be reading along with me out of Bibles where they are separated, I will do them separate. But they were not separate originally. They were tampered with like everything else. Coming up in December is the Electoral College vote, and then the inauguration. The states have declared now, and I don't think that they're going to be able to steal any election. But I will wait and see what occurs. Then that will begin the first 100 days of the new presidency of Mr. Trump. He is a politician, and I trust him to do what politicians do best. And that's tell great things before an election and do something entirely different after an election. So I have no faith in this government. I only have faith in Yahweh. I do not feel that any man is going to bail us out of the situation that we are in. It is going to require divine intervention and the returning of the Messiah. That's how it's going to go down. And that's all I can really say on that, because it's a wait and see process for all of us. I am no prophet. I'm not going to prophesy. I only have opinions. And you know what they're worth. They're not worth anything. We don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to play like I do know. It's a wait and see. Pray to Yahweh for his mercy and deliverance of the people of true Israel, the men and women and children of the white Western European people that are of the pure seed of Adam, with no mixtures. And Yahweh is the one that will deliver us. And Yahshua is the one that will be our eternal king. None other. I have been having problems with the intro and outro music. I had a crash here and something changed, so I had just skipped the intro and outro music for this show and maybe for some other shows. I don't have the time to fool with it. I need to get the word out, not the music. It's nice music. I like it. I like Tennessee Ernie Ford's rendition of Onward Christian Soldiers. But I can't let it interfere, a minor technical glitch, with these teachings. Same way I'm doing the best I can in a bad situation with my breathing problems. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Please keep me in your prayers, and may Yahweh give me strength to continue this mission that he has placed me on. I need his strength and his healing power. And may all of you be blessed by Yahweh. I will say Shalom Aleichem. I'm just about at the end of my hour here, and I want to leave a little bit of room in case Paul wants to put in the music for me. I would appreciate if he would do that. So, Shalom Aleichem, that means peace be unto you, to all my brothers and sisters out there, and I will talk to you on the morrow, beginning with the first chapter of the book of Ruth. May Yahweh bless and keep you.